Hey, Ron Sattermo here, back with another podcast for the Triathica Academy, Tri-Chatter. Today I'm here with a good pal of mine, Stu Lowndes, who's just an outstanding triathlete and hasn't been in the sport that long. So say hi, Stu.
Hello, everybody.
So, Stu, you tell us about your athletic background before triathlon. What were you doing before?
Before triathlon, through high school, through early years, basically nothing but trying to dodge anything with regards to fitness, mainly focused on alcohol and good nights out, but always trying to lift weights, you know, as you do, 16, 17, 18 year old, you try and buff up and look a little bit muscly. And basically from there till 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, I was a weightlifter. I was a bodybuilder. Not a very good one. A heavy one. 230 pound.
How tall are you?
5'10".
5'10", and you were 230?
And I was 230, but I could never get that edge. I could just never get the softness off, and it was just, every day was hurting. And I woke up one morning, I said to my wife, that's it, I'm done. My back's aching, my legs are aching, my ankles are aching, my stomach's aching from all the food. I'm done. I got to get rid of this weight. And that was the start of my triathlon career.
Wow. So 3.5 years ago. What do you weigh now?
Right now in maintenance, I'm about 178.
178.
And Ironman weight was 167.
Wow.
So a considerable 65 pound down.
Yeah, you lost it. Yeah.
A lot of muscle.
An adolescent kid.
That's right. I can actually fit clothing now.
Man.
So yeah, it was just that in the head was, if I'm going to lose the muscle, you got two choices, right? It either turns into fat or you burn it off. So I started doing spin classes. I couldn't run. I couldn't even run 100 yards. I started doing spin classes in Texas. I was living in Houston at the time and started doing on the cross trainer and a little bit of swimming, 20, 30 lengths here and there. And one day in the gym, one of the personal trainers just threw down a challenge and said, you know, you're on the cross trainer, you're doing spin class, you're swimming, you should do the sprint triathlon here in the Woodlands.
Mm.
And it never entered my mind until that day to even consider doing one.
Yeah.
But the challenge was thrown down, right? You know how that goes. So I started training for that, started running a little bit. I think that was in the November and the race was in the March. So I'd got 4 or 5 months. It was a sprint, and by the time I got to Christmas, I was doing longer distances than the sprint. So I basically re-challenged that personal trainer and said, "Well, why don't we do the Olympic instead?" So yeah,
why did you just go for Ironman as your first race? I mean,
we're all this way, right? I think we're all this way anyway. So yeah, my first one was the end of March. It was actually the day after my daughter's birthday, March 29th.
Is that 07 then?
What year is that? 08. So that was, we're in 11 now. Yeah, 08, March 08 was my first Olympic. And it was the Galveston Olympic Triathlon in Galveston, Texas. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had a great race. I did everything wrong. But I got fifth place in my age group, so obviously something went right. I got a 2:27 for the Olympic and just felt good.
Wow. What was your weight when you first raced, do you remember?
I was probably still at like 190.
Wow.
Just over 190, because I stuck at 200 a while.
You'd lost 30, 40 pounds though.
Yeah.
By that time.
Yeah,
it just fell off, didn't it?
It just came off. I was 3%, 4% body fat. And just big, just lots of muscle.
Hmm.
Up top, not in the legs, all up top. Yeah. Typical bodybuilder.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So, okay, so that was your first race in 08. And how did you progress? I mean, once you did the first one, did you know that that was, okay, this is a great sport, I'm going to stick with it, or
yeah,
were you just kind of iffy about it? Or
no, I mean, no. I was, when my brother-in-law is actually, he used to be a Team GB triathlete, and I remember him telling me around the Christmas time, he was like, "Once you do one, that's it, you're hooked."
Yeah.
And I'd say, no, no, no. He's like, you're going to do Iron Man. You're going to do this. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm doing this to lose weight. I'm having fun. No, when I ran through that finish line, that was it. I was planning the next 2 years. So I went from there. Obviously, you know, stretch yourself. I went from there and signed up for Longhorn 70.3 in Austin. That was in the November of the same year. So I didn't do any other, no other triathlon until I hit that one. I went out and bought a new bike.
Wait, when did you move here? When did you move to Southern California?
I moved here in May 2009.
Okay, so you were already living here when you did Longhorn.
No, Longhorn was November 2008.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so November 2008. So I'm still in the Woodlands, Texas, which is a great place for triathletes. There's triathletes everywhere. They've got the first Ironman this year.
Yeah, that's right. I know a few people that are doing that.
Yeah, it's literally around my house. It's where I used to live. Yeah. So if there's anybody in the Woodlands, hello out there. So yeah, I went to 70.3. Like I say, I bought a tri bike. I did the first one on a Cannondale bike that I loaned from my local bike shop for a short time. I call it loaned, I paid for it, but the guy said, if you bring it back, I'll give you full price because you will want a tri bike. And I did. 2 weeks later, I took it back. So 70.3 was good.
That was your second triathlon?
That was my second triathlon. I'd been, a month before, I'd been training in the UK with my brother-in-law, and he'd given me his bike with what I now know to be real low gearing, basically flat time trial gearing. And I took it into the hills and I managed to pull my IT band somehow. So I went into Austin knowing that I couldn't run. I just wasn't going to be able to run at all. But I did good. I posted a 4:50.
Not bad for a guy that can't run.
Yeah, and the run was hard because every single step I felt my IT band. But, you know, you just deal with it at the end with a couple of drinks. I was still drinking back then. So that was Austin, and my idea then was if I could get through the half and feel good, I'd go and sign up for a full Ironman. And didn't really believe that I could go sign up for a full Ironman, but after, you know, 12th in age group and feeling good at the end of it, I went from there, and November the 7th I was standing in a line in Florida waiting to pay my money for 2009 Florida Ironman.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I remember that.
There was a lot of training for that. So I went back. What did I do after that? I went back to Galveston to basically see how much better I'd got over a 12-month period. And I turned back up at Galveston feeling good. I was supposed to do the Houston Marathon in January, and I made a pretty wise choice not to do it because the training for the Houston Marathon was interfering with the training for the Olympic distance, and I really wanted the Olympic distance to be something good. And I turned up and just everything went wrong in the morning. I couldn't find a parking spot. I got my parents, my wife, and my two young kids with us. We had to run with my transition box at the time because I hadn't got my transitions figured out. Ran about a mile, almost missed the swim start. It was just the nightmare that you could ever want for the start of a triathlon. And got to the end of it, posted a great time, felt good about it, smoked everybody on the bike, ran 6:37s on the run, and felt great. And I'm standing there with my wife in the line. They give you the little ticket in Houston to tell you where your placings are. And it said age group one. So I'm jumping up and down feeling absolutely fantastic. And then my wife looks at the ticket and she says, well, it says age group one, but it also says overall one. And I'm like, no. Don't even worry about that. There's something wrong with the computers. Well, you know, 30 minutes later, there I am on the podium collecting first overall place for the whole thing except the pros. So like 1,000 people in the race and I got first place. So I definitely improved from the year before.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting that.
Man. Yeah.
That was a big party that afternoon.
That's amazing.
So then I moved here. In May I came here. Got talked into doing the Pacific Coast Triathlon, even though I was way into Ironman training for Florida, which I was taking very seriously. which is where we met up, and you helped me a lot with my training for Ironman. Did Pacific Coast, qualified for Team USA, found the air miles and the free lodging and accommodation to go out to Australia and race Team USA. Realized where the true athletes in the sport are. They were all in front of me until I got on the bike and the run, and I caught a few of them. So I finished middle of the pack there. That was good. And then Ironman was just one of the greatest days of my life. Just unbelievable day. Great day. Came in fully prepared. Probably over prepared. But
you think so?
I think so, yeah. I think I put a lot. I was up to 26, 27 hour training weeks.
I think you're, what age group are you in again?
35 to 39.
Yeah. See, I mean, you guys in your age group, you know, the top guys are right there with the pros. Mm. I mean, you know, guys in your age group are finishing ahead of
a
number of pros.
Yeah,
so
they did.
You got to put in that kind of time, really, to do it. Yeah, I remember that. You know, you had an amazing pace in the pool. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you could hang with the best of them in the pool, and then on the bike, you know, I mean, you kick everybody's butt when we'd ride. Of course, I'm no match for you, but I'm 20 years older than you too. but I mean, you would just smoke everybody on the bike.
Yeah, the bike.
So tell us about that race. Give us the rundown on Florida.
So Florida was, anybody lining up for their first Ironman, don't worry. Yeah, you will feel really bad. You will feel extremely nervous. You will stand there and think, what am I doing? Am I ready? You just got to get over it, and you just got to dive in and start swimming. And I positioned myself on the swim. It was a beach start, beautiful clear water. It was a little bit chilly, but the sun was coming up. It was great. The pros had already gone. It was a two-loop course, so I knew that at least I could get up halfway and stretch the back and the shoulders. And the swim went good. You know, you get beaten and chewed and punched and kicked, and that's just the women that are doing that. And then the men will punch you and pull you and swim over the top of you. But, you know, you just get on with it. You just try and settle in. And I came out the swim a lot slower than I wanted to, but I felt good for it. I think I put a 107, I believe the swim was.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem with a lot of Ironman swims is you just get boxed in.
Oh, yeah. You know, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah, you just, you know, you are where you are,
yep.
And you're not going to be able to, you know, you could be a 55-minute guy and end up
right.
with a 105 just because you're boxed in.
Yeah, you can't go forward, you can't go backwards, you can't go left or right.
Yeah.
Unless you want to get out. And then if you want to get out, you can get out. So anyway, the first loop was pretty slow, but the second one I got definitely into a rhythm and found a couple of people that we swam together and got out feeling good, had a nice long transition. I think your comment, Ron, was that you thought I'd sent out for pizza on my 7-minute transition. But I was, you know, doing the things that you do, wondering why am I sitting down in a tent putting socks on, and you know, I should just be running up, grabbing a bike and going, right? But,
right.
You know, it doesn't work that way. So that'll be quicker next time. The bike was unbelievable. As you said, Ron, my strength was definitely back then and still is today is the bike. And I just went out there and I was just going past people for the first 20, 25 mile. I was just constantly passing people. And it was the people who were ahead of me on the swim. And then you get to a point where you see 6 or 7 guys in a pace line and they come flying past you at 30 mile an hour and you think, do I jump on it? And you think, no, I don't jump on it. I'm going to sit and I'm going to stay at my 24, 25, 26 mile an hour and I'm just going to put my graft in. And then on the hills, you know, you come up against a group and everybody's together and tickets going everywhere, but before you know it loosens up again and off you go. You just get down and you do what you did in training. You just graft, you grind, you push, you pull. You think about winning, you think about being fast. And I came to about mile 90 and there was a group of guys that had hooked on the back of me, and I wasn't happy about that. and every time I slowed down, they'd just sit there and hook on the back of me. So it was about 90, 92. I just nailed it, and I went way over heart rate. And one by one, they dropped off, and I came through the gates and looked at my watch, and it said 4 hours, 44 minutes, and I just felt great.
Wow.
So the bike to run was, I think that was another 7 or 8 minute transition. You got to get the sun cream on, you got to use the bathroom. So I had a big issue with not being able to do that on the bike. So I was definitely ready for that.
Now, is this the race that I was texting your times and stuff to somebody,
that's,
right?
That's right. Yeah. You were online checking the times and sending them to people. So I knew where I was at.
Yeah.
So I jump off the bike, start running. Felt great. The legs had got spring. The guy that I beat in Galveston, a guy called Tim Monk, who's qualified for Kona a couple of times, he'd said if you get off the bike and you got spring in your step, you're good to go. And I started running and I felt fresh. My legs felt great. I felt as though I could run. It was a two loop course. First loop was great. Didn't even notice it.
What was your pace at that point?
At that point, I was about 7:10, 7:15.
Yeah, so halfway through, you're just over 7 minutes.
And
pace.
Felt great. My heart rate was at 72-73%, nice and low. Yeah. Felt good, didn't have any cramps, no issues. A friend of mine came running up behind me as I exited the first loop to start the second. And he's a 2:50 marathon guy. And he came running up behind me and started talking to me, and I just assumed he'd caught me. So we chatted away, and after about a mile, he said, "Stu, I got to slow down. I can't stay with you." And he says, "I'm only on my first loop. If I run at this pace, I'll be no good." So he left me, and I don't know whether that played with my head a little bit or what it did, but 6 mile later, I'm not having good time with the stomach. Big issues with the stomach. Ended up, we'll just say stopping for a period of time, sitting down.
Mm.
And, you get up from that and 12 minutes later and everything's cramping up. And, you've got that worst bit of the marathon to go. So I just willed myself, just run 7:30s between aid stations and then walk the aid stations. Eat and drink everything you get your hands on.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I just did that, and I knew the guys around me. I knew who was in my age group, so I'd pass them on the run. They'd pass me when I stopped at the aid station. And then the last mile, I just had at it. I just let everything out. I hadn't got a thing left when I crossed the finish line. And I got a 9:26. The sun was still up. Everybody was still happy. The massage tent was empty. I just couldn't believe it. It was... Still to this day, it's unbelievable how I did it. I don't really know.
Yeah, that's an amazing first effort, man. Yeah. That was just great. That was so fun watching you online, too. It was just exciting all day long. So great. Well, listen, now you're not racing.
Correct.
Right? You're working on your executive MBA.
That's correct, yeah.
So let's talk about maintenance and your theories on maintenance, and you're going to start racing again at some point.
Right? I am, yes. And Arizona 2012.
Arizona 2012. So you've got less than 2 years.
Yep.
For that.
Yep.
And so, tell us about your plans for maintenance, and I assume that's going to be your A race, right?
Arizona. It will. It will in 20. Yeah, my MBA finishes December this year. So I've got almost another 12 months of that. And anybody that's trying to sneak that in with work and family and everything else knows that you can't put the time in that you want to put in. So my professor at school, well, this year, as you know, Ron, was supposed to be 70.3 World Championships for me, or last year, 2010. And I went to Texas to try qualify, missed it by one spot. I think that was for the best, because a week later I found out I was on the MBA.
Yeah.
And there's no way I could have gone to Clearwater and done the MBA. So, for the first 3 or 4 months I was battling with not being in the gym for 20 hours, not working out for 20 hours, beating myself up that I wasn't getting that hour in, and Dr. Wayne Strom at Pepperdine. He was our first professor for the first 4 months, and it was all about leadership development, people, working with teams, working with yourself, how to control yourself. And he made a comment that it sort of sat with me, and it was about sitting down and having a boardroom meeting with your own personalities. And it sounds really weird.
Yeah.
And it's in a book.
Please enlighten us.
It's in a book called Influencing with Integrity, I believe it's called.
Hmm.
And what it basically is you sit down and you write down all the different personalities of yourself. The father, the husband, the employee, the triathlete, the MBA guy, the guy that likes to sit and watch TV, the guy that likes to daydream, the guy... You put all of your different... The guy that likes to sleep. You write them all down and you prioritize them. You say, okay, what's... For the next 12 months, what are my main goals? And so I prioritize them. And then you literally sit and have a conversation with the five or six personalities that you have left. And you agree who's going to get what time. And, you know, the five personalities beat up on the sixth personality, which is the triathlete, saying... Dude, there's nothing this year. You've already said you're in maintenance mode, so you need to back it down. So I came up with a new plan, and since then the new plan has been... The stress level has reduced considerably, because again, I was just beating myself up that I wasn't putting 20 hours a week in. And because I was beating myself up on that, you get yourself stressed about other stuff. And then other stuff doesn't get done, and it just builds and builds, so... From that day on, I was good. I said I'd do 8 to 12 hours maximum a week. One long run, one long swim, one long bike. Anything that I got in between was good. And whatever I did get in between would be speed work. And I basically committed to myself that I would always do full distance. So it's always a 13-mile run. It's always at least a 56-mile bike. It's always 86 lengths in the pool, except for the speed work in between. So once I did that, I figured I'd get used to that. And Vineman was the first race, I guess, on maintenance. And what I hadn't figured out was the eating side. You know, and everybody knows that when you're putting 26 hours a week in, you can eat virtually whatever you want to put in front of yourself and not gain weight.
Yeah.
So... even though I'd cut down to 8 hours, I hadn't cut down the food to 8 hours. So I probably gained 7 or 8 pounds and raced Vineman and felt it. But I did Vineman in 5 hours dead, and my goal was 5 hours, and I did 5 hours, 22 seconds. And I think I had an 11-minute transition in that one.
Yeah.
I actually ate a sandwich talking to my wife in T2, putting my socks on and laughing and joking for the crowd. But it was just a fun race. You just got to enjoy the races. So there's Vineman, then Silverman, California 70.3 coming up. I'll do one other half this year. Two more halves this year. And the my whole philosophy of maintenance is exactly that. It's, you can't periodize as well. You can't peak as well. It's almost like the English weather system. It never gets above 75 and it never gets below 25. It's always in between. It's not like Philadelphia that goes up to 110 and down to minus 20. And to a degree, it's not even like here that you get the extremes. So every 3 weeks, I do go up slightly. And the fourth week, I do relax slightly. But it's not the same sort of peaks and troughs as when you're really trying to build yourself up over periodization of a 12 or 16 or a 20-week period. And right now it's working. I feel good. I've finished Silverman. Given it was to me it was slow, but that's an awesome course.
That's,
and
a
if
tough
anybody
course, yeah.
Anybody wants to get their butt kicked, that's a great course to go do.
Yeah, well, you know, the world championships are going to be Lake Las Vegas.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
going to be tough. Yeah,
look out. That's all I'll say. Yeah, if you're used to Florida, look out.
Yeah,
because that's a tough course. I felt in better shape than Vineman, and I came through to 5:40.
Mm.
But here's the thing about maintenance. You know, 5:40, I got up the next morning, I felt great. I got up Tuesday morning, I went running. I didn't have a joint, a muscle, nothing that didn't feel good. My heart rate through the whole race was at maintenance heart rate. The whole race on my Polar, when I downloaded it, was 74% heart rate for the bike and the run. And again, that's maintenance. That's all it is. So my philosophy right now is I'm building base. I'm just building base for 18 months to 2 years,
yeah.
Which I didn't have before my first Ironman, because I'd gone so quickly into it. I hadn't spent those years of just building that base up. Every 15, 17, 18 mile run would put me asleep for an hour when I got home. And luckily, thank you to Joanne for looking after me, because when I walked through the door and did put my feet up and sleep, I never got any grief. What I'm doing now is maintenance and just putting the hours in.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a rare person that can, especially when you're talking about Ironman, you know, that can go from nowhere to really performing well, which, you know, you did. That's really rare. A couple of weeks ago we talked with Slater Fletcher.
Yeah, listen,
I don't know if you know Slater, but he's just an amazing athlete, and, you know, was overweight and kind of into mountain biking, and then just all of a sudden, you know, he turned it around. But, you know, those are stories that are pretty, you know, few and far between. You know, for the most part, you know, when I work with athletes, you know, if I'm working with somebody that has aspirations to do an Ironman and wants to do well and go for their Kona slot, it's like, it's a year's long,
right.
Years of base building and stuff to get there. You know, it's rare for that person to go from nowhere to 18 months to qualifying for Kona. It's just,
right.
It's so hard to do. It's not impossible, but it's hard to do.
It's
Slater
definitely
did,
hard.
You know, I think that was about it for Slater. It was like from nothing to 18 months and he qualified for Kona.
Right.
You know, so that's rare. Another thing that I think is great is, I don't know if you've ever met Chris Johnson. Chris lives in Laguna Niguel or Dana Point. Chris is, he's my Ironman mentor. I've got a lot of people that help me and coach me and give
right.
me direction. I always give kudos to my pal Larry Davidson. He's been a good friend and good coach as well. But Chris he's sort of my idol, because he qualified for and did Kona 15 years in a row. And
That's
his
impressive.
Basic philosophy of training was, I'm in maintenance
right.
all the time until 9 weeks before the race.
Right.
And then it's 9 weeks of just sheer hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's taper in there. So it's more like 6 weeks of just unbelievably intense training.
Right.
Taper down for a couple of weeks, and then it's race. And that's what he does.
Yeah.
You know, that's how he's done it. Now, he's not racing anymore. He's had some injuries and stuff. But, you know, and I'll give a little plug to Huddle and Fry, and I know you started out using
their
stuff.
Do.
And it's basically the 9 final weeks in
right.
their book. I forget what the name of the book is. 24 weeks to an iron distance race.
Yeah, 20 something weeks, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. But it's basically those 9 weeks.
That's right.
You know, and he would just be in maintenance mode all year round.
Mm-hmm.
But now I know that you changed from that, you went over to Friel's system.
I did.
Right?
I switched to the training Bible.
Yeah.
I did. I switched over because of still being new into it. You've got to try everything.
Yeah.
There's no point picking one, in my opinion. There's no point picking one and just, because you get some good results from it, stick with it and do nothing else. You never know what you're missing. So, you know, I ended up with 30 triathlon books on my shelf. In the space of the first 18 months or so, and you've got to read, you've got to open your mind, you've got to talk to lots of people. You know, that's how I met you. You've got the business, you've got the setup, you've got things going on, and you were coaching. So you've got to ask people, you've got to talk to people, and you've got to be very open to what people are telling you. And then try it, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, it's still a win because you know that that doesn't work for
you.
Yeah,
you just eliminate that.
Yeah, you eliminate it and you move it on. So, yeah, I switched over. I think it was more the book than anything. It's a big reference manual.
Yeah.
And I'm an engineer, so at heart I like reference manuals. And, you know, I've got all these spreadsheets and all of these power tap settings and everything else. But yeah, I think I just liked the book, and it just worked. It worked for me. But I didn't follow it fully. I'd sort of mixed the two of them. And between the mix, that's what got me into, you know, into the shape that I got into for Florida.
Yeah.
For sure. But even now, I'm still looking at lots of different ways of, you know, that, as you say, that the long and steady, which to me is where I'm at in maintenance with the heart rate, versus that last 9 weeks, which I guess for Silverman I did the last 4 weeks, and I actually peaked 3 weeks after Silverman. I think you saw me in the gym one morning, I was running 1 mile repeats on the treadmill, and you were like, what are you doing? And the body was just still peaking, so it's exactly right. I tried for 4 weeks and it didn't work.
Yeah.
7 weeks later, I was ready. I was ready to race. I should have done Silverman again.
I know. It's funny when you see Stu at the gym on the treadmill, because if he's got people on either side of him, they get out of the way because this dude is sweating like crazy, man. I only know one other guy who will remain nameless that sweats more than you, but you're working a lot harder than he is. I mean, you are just, you know. Dude just runs 6 minute pace like it's nothing, you know. And it's funny because I'll go to the gym sometimes, and I last year I wasn't doing any of my strength training in the gym. I was doing it all at home.
Right.
And Stu and everybody else is making fun of me now when I go to the gym, because they dude, did you even know that there's this half of the gym existed? So now when I'm doing my workouts, I'll go in my strength training workout might take an hour. And Stu's already on the treadmill. I say hello to him going into the locker room, and then I come out, and he's still on the treadmill. And then I do my workout, and I'm headed out to the pool, and he's still on the treadmill, and his sweat is still flying all over the place. And how you keep your heart rate, man, I just, you know, your heart rate, even when you're moving that fast, is just,
it,
you know.
It stays low.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it still stays low. I think that's that. It's the maintenance. It's the base. Just building up. My heart rate actually is going even lower.
Yeah.
Because my body's just getting used to running. You know, my one test that I still give myself, but if I give myself too many tests, then I start getting too stressed about trying to meet them.
Yeah.
So again, the personalities in my head. I have one test every 3 months, and that's to run as fast as I can for 60 minutes. And I always do it on a treadmill, just because then there's no hills or anything to worry about. So
no wind,
and it's on the same treadmill at the gym. And I got up to, I did 9.11 miles an hour, 9.11 miles in an hour on the treadmill. Felt great. Got
so
off.
Was that like 6:15 or what is?
Yeah, like 6:17s or something like that. And I negative split as well, because I've never negative split, so I'm trying to negative split more than I can. But when I got off, I look at my heart rate, and it didn't go above 145 even at the highest point, which is, you know, 88% or something. But most of the time, it sits there at 80, and it just seems to work. Now my resting heart rate's at 30 something, and my max, which I've only ever seen once, and that was running up the hill at Crystal Cove, Pacific Coast Triathlon, is 164. And that's it. That's where I'm at. But yeah, I like the treadmill workouts just simply because I can control them.
Yeah.
Full stop. And as long as you run on them, as long as you actually think of your legs, and you don't just, you're not trying to run to keep up with the belt. You're trying to push the belt. You're pushing the belt backwards every time, every step. You should be pushing that belt. And if you feel that, then you're running good on a treadmill. Always with a 1% incline or a 0.5% incline, just to give it that little bit. But yeah, anybody that comes and stands next to me, sorry about the sweating. I don't even notice you, but sorry about the sweating.
yeah, that's pretty funny. So Your next big race is
California.
California. That's yep. April 2nd.
It is.
And you have never done California before.
No, no. I wanted to get in last year, but you know, as you do when you go into Ironman, you've always got the unknown. Will I qualify? Will I hate it? Will I get halfway through and just give up and not do this again? So, you know, I wanted to wait until after Florida to figure out where I was at. And I missed, you know, missed by like 12 minutes or something qualifying, which was, again, I think it all worked out for the best.
Yeah.
Because I'll come back and get it in 2012. But by the time I came to sign up for California, as you know, I mean, it goes. It goes within a week.
Yeah.
So I didn't do it last year. I came and watched and shouted at you a couple of times as you were running past.
Yes, yeah. Stu, I'll tell you what. You know, we're starting to get this really dialed in now, you know, because I did it for Stu when he was in Florida.
That's right.
And he's come out. And he did it for me at California. And then he also came to Arizona this year. And you know what? We got there's a business opportunity right there. Just, you know, getting the information to the athletes. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. But yeah, Stu was there at California. That was, by the way, that was the race of my life. That of all my athletic accomplishments in the, you know, basically 48 years of competing, you know, that was my athletic highlight right there. And Stu was there and he was cheering me on and told me, you know, I was in second place and I was only a minute behind Kim McDonald and, you know.
Speed up, I think I said.
I had Larry Davidson there. He was right by my side and he wasn't having a great day, but he urged me to go on. And yeah, that was a great day for me.
Yeah, you were moving at that race.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be a good race for you. And
I think
you're in maintenance mode, I think you're still going to just crush that course.
It'll be fun. I'm aiming for a 5 hour again. We'll see where we get.
Yeah, you're gonna beat that.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. So what are you gonna ramp up for that at all, or are you just gonna just?
I'm just gonna go straight through. The EMBA comes into this. I'm in finance now for 5 months, and I'm probably the worst financial person out there. So it's really tough right now just for me to get my head around everything that I'm doing.
Yeah.
But again, I'm good with that. I'm paying a lot of money for that. It's going to be good for me and my family going forwards. So that's number one over triathlon.
Yeah.
So you know what, if I get to mid end of February, early March, and I feel good about the financial module, then maybe I'll kick it into gear a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But all I'll basically do is I'll switch from probably again, maybe a little bit earlier than Silverman, 5 weeks before, I'll switch from those long runs, the 13, 14, 15 mile runs, to 9 mile runs at a quicker pace.
Yeah.
So I'll just get the fast twitch going up until the race and then probably a week's taper.
Yeah.
Again, like I say, it's more of a slow wave than it is a peak and a trough.
Yeah, yeah.
The goal is to finish it and then the very next day go up and do the, not the mud run, the Viking run or Viking quest or whatever it is at Lake Elsinore, where you dive through bales of hay and things. So the plan is to go do that on Sunday. My parents are here and I know my dad would get a big kick out of coming and watching that.
Oh, okay.
And it's a couple of days before my birthday, so it's just one of those weekends that we'll have fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, I won't really. I'll switch. I'll switch from the slow twitch to the fast twitch, and probably see if I can get 5 or 6 weeks in. But again, I'm not going to beat myself up over it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out there. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to have fun. And the way that I see this is just 18 months of base building ready for Arizona.
Yeah. No, that's not going to hurt you at all.
Mm,
you know,
no.
I think it's great. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, for me, I've been doing so much racing that I'm not in maintenance mode much. You know, I'm right back into it again. I had a couple of weeks after Arizona to recoup, and that was about it. Now I'm right back into it again. You know, I'm into the long miles. I don't even want to know how many hours I'm working out now, but it's, you know, it's so early, but I've kind of switched my training platform up a little bit this year. You know, I'm trying to, my problem has been, I've done 5 Ironman races now, mm-hmm. and all 5 of them I've bonked on the run. Sometimes I've bonked right off the bike, and then other times I've bonked about halfway through the run. But between, you know, mile 1 to mile 13, I've bonked in there all 5 times. So, and I think it's primarily been because of nutrition, you mm-hmm. know. I think it's been a nutritional problem. But I have difficulty getting calories in while I'm running.
Right. I'm with you on that.
So, you know, the solution or the plan that I'm working on now is to try to burn more of your body fat rather than your glycogen, because, you know, you've got, I don't even know what it is, 30,000, 50,000
calories or whatever,
calories or something like that in your, you know, the average person's body fat. So I've got to bring my high revving 4-cylinder engine down,
right.
you know, and get to burning the fat, and that's my plan. So even though I'm in, you know, 20 weeks away from Ironman St. George, you know, I'm still working out a ton, but it's all been low heart rate stuff.
Right.
So
I think that it makes sense when you, I think there's a lot of assumptions that we make as triathletes when we see the pros going out and that, wow, they were cycling at 28 mile an hour. They must be 95% heart
right.
rates. They're knocking it out the park.
Right.
Well, guess what? They're not.
Yeah.
You know, they're the diesel engine. They're sitting there, you just said it, the 4-cylinder high revving versus the diesel engine at, we've had this conversation a few times,
yeah.
at probably 83 RPM.
Yeah.
And they're just cranking the power out. It's all torque. And they're sitting there at a nice heart rate. They
yeah.
just train a lot.
Yeah.
They've trained for years and years and years to get to 28 mile an hour diesel engine. And I think, you know, from my standpoint, that's what I'm doing right now, is
yeah,
just building
there.
That diesel engine.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can get through Florida in the sort of time that I did at the heart rate that I did, I think that's really what helped me with the run. I just didn't feel it until my digestion system started playing up.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's almost to be given for the first one.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think it's a, I know we had the conversation in the gym the other week, the slow and steady doesn't really, it plays with your mind.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, an Ironman for the majority of us is slow and steady, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's totally aerobic, mm. you know.
Yeah.
You've got to stay in the zone. So, and I'm seeing some progress with that. I don't think I'll ever get to you, you know, where you're at. You know, I'm happy with a 50, you know, resting heart rate. 30 would be, wow, that would be amazing. But again, I'm 20 years older than you are. So.
That makes a bit of a difference. Well, I'll be there at St. George cheering you on.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm going to be up there.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're actually going up there 4 weeks before for a training camp. There's about 10 of us that are doing the race.
Oh, nice.
We're all going up there, and we got a couple of condos rented, and we're going to go up there and ride the course and run the course. And yeah, it's going to be a tough race, but
yeah.
It should be fun.
Now, I noticed it's not on next year's roster yet.
Oh, it's not? Oh.
No.
So you're thinking they may not do
is
it.
That a,
well, they're not going to do it if they don't, if they're not making money at it.
Yeah.
WTC doesn't do anything unless they make money.
Exactly.
And it can't
yeah.
be just a little bit of money. It's got to be a ton of
it
money.
It has got to be a ton, because, you know, they got the whole supply demand thing tied up. Unless you paid your extra money, obviously, to get to the front of what's now
yeah,
an even bigger pack to sign up.
Yeah, I don't know that they've done. I think they might have done away with that. That pissed a lot of people off. But
I can imagine. But yeah, I noticed St. George wasn't on for 2012.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's
hopefully it stays. I think it's a very scenic course with some good hills, good climbs, nice place, good people.
Challenging.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
I think it's still open if you want to sign up.
Yeah, no thanks. I'll do half of it.
Yeah, there you go. Who's gonna know? Well, let's leave it there, but I want to have you come back, and I want to talk about your triathlon endeavor. You know, Stu's got a website that he's going to announce, and feel free to tell him whatever you want to tell him at
okay.
this point.
Yeah, well, I'll come back and we'll talk more about it. But it's www.coachmetriathlon.com, and it's a new way of looking at how to find a coach, how to work with a coach, specifically focused on the mid and the back of the pack athletes who were, I think you said it pretty good as we were talking about it, it's a big brother type philosophy.
Yeah.
Helping people out, having a much more enjoyable race, gaining 10 minutes over last year's time, feeling good about it, finishing it standing, not crawling, and feeling really good. And we launched last week and we're getting a lot of movement on it. So yeah, if people want to log in and have a look, then feel free to do so. And I'll come back in a couple of weeks and we'll talk more about how it fits in and how it fits in with sort of Triathica and the other good companies that are out there offering coaching today.
Yeah. CoachMeTriathlon.com.
That's it.
Yeah. Check it out. And it's, you know, again, it's not just for athletes looking for coaches. It's coaches looking for athletes.
Correct.
So if, you know, by the way, you don't have to be USAT certified to be a coach.
Nope.
You just need to know what you're doing and be willing to work with athletes that are, you know,
right,
coming up in the sport.
Yeah, we're targeting the top 10% of age group. Guys like me, who, you know, we put a lot of hours and effort in. Guys like me with probably 5 more years experience, but put a lot of hours and effort in and learned the tricks, made the mistakes,
right,
and can just help with some pointers. It's, you know, no contract, pay by the hour, training peaks plans, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, it's just trying to make everybody's life a lot easier in the majority, the 80% of people that do triathlons, making their lives easier, and helping the top 10% of people out. They can train people and then work with guys like Ron and other companies to hopefully get them qualified for Kona.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks.
Yes, perfect.
Thanks, Stu. And to reach me, triathica.com or triathicaacademy.com or ron@triathica.com. Keep the cards and letters coming. We'll see you in a week.
Thanks.
Thank you.